You're listening to Around Comics, episode 239, brought to you by InStockTrades.com and Netflix. From Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comics and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you are in the area, you should certainly drop on by.
We're not. Folks.
Well, we're not.
I'm what?
Just saying you don't have to.
If you... Well, you should.
If you got other stuff going on.
Yeah, if you got something important.
It's summer, I understand. Weather's nice.
It's like a baseball game.
I didn't even want to come here tonight.
I know. Welcome back.
And I'm on the show.
I'm Christopher Niesman. When we get you introduced to this week's panel, first of all, welcome back, Sal. You had you were barbecuing with the family last time we recorded.
Yeah, I went to the zoo and hung out with my sister who was in town. My uncle from Texas was in town. So, yeah.
Don't mess with Texas. You didn't mess with him, did you?
How were the cougar fights, like the live mountain lion fights?
No, it was
it's tame.
The craziest thing was just poker. We play a lot of poker.
So. Yeah, but it was with like ninja stars, there's chips and
there's
stuff.
There's guns
right?
on the table usually.
Yeah, guns.
And a lot of knives. A lot of drugs and who knows what else, but yeah.
And I just want to make it clear. Lots of kids.
We keep them out of the garage, you know. I am not Sal Abernathy. I just want to make that clear. I'm going to do that every episode now because... I have people emailing me asking me about Atomica.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah, I don't.
And people keep saying that we should have you back on the show.
Oh, hilarious. Yeah, I've evidently.
When is Sal going to be on
the show?
3.5 years,
nobody knew my name. And Sal Abernathy comes on, and I'm the funniest guy in podcasting.
Yeah,
now.
Great shit stories.
Yeah, I was going to say, as long as you don't shit yourself.
You should ride it out as coattails and do interviews on other shows.
That'd be kind of funny, actually. I think they'd catch on eventually. Sal might say fuck or cunt quite enough.
Oh, God.
To really pull it off.
Sal might pay you to do some of those interviews.
No,
so you should check
no,
in.
That's
no, he enjoys
it. I'll work that material somewhere.
Mr. Tom Caters.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
I've seen you a couple times this week. We keep bumping
all
into
each time.
Other. All the time. I know. I'm stalking you.
Okay. Things got weird.
Yeah.
It was weird to see you outside my window, but I mean... Whatever, I chopped it up to coincidence.
Not the first time.
Can I get you anything? Would you like some coffee, Tom?
And
our
guest, the lights.
Our guest this week is an old friend of the show, dating back to whenever you gave us some good pub in the newspaper. He is a comic book fan, journalist, writer, Mr. Robert K. Elder.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get into some of this later, but if you're interested in tracking down some of Robert's work, you can find him. It's been announced you are a contributing editor at Wizard Magazine now.
Yep. And Stop Smiling as well. And,
which is a really cool publication.
I actually looked
through some of their stuff at the Printer's Row Book Fair a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good group of guys. I'm interviewing directors for them.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you've done a lot of interviews through your work in newspapers and magazines. We found out through trading some emails that you, like I, am a big Soul Coughing and Mike Doty fan.
Well, and you had like a great couple weeks there of musical intros. So you had like Rage Against the Machine, Soul Coughing.
Chris is just going to use this as fuel to keep. Somebody liked it. Let's keep going.
Yeah, here
Not
we
that
go.
I have a problem with Soul Coughing.
Well, I was telling Chris before we hit the record button that both of our wives think they married lesbians.
Which is like a lot of Lilith Fair material.
Not so much, but I will admit to like owning...
Don't do it. This shit lasts forever.
This will be out there for the rest of your life.
There's an Enya CD in your collection, isn't there?
No. I'll just say I'm a very, very sensitive man.
Okay. All right. Sarah McLachlan.
Gravy.
I love.
Well, speaking of music, we're gonna man up a little bit this week. This was I actually sent out a tweet on Twitter for some music suggestions, and thanks to Wida. That's W-H-Y-D-A for suggesting Jane's Addiction. So Jane's Addiction is this week's featured
art. Well, shit, I suggested that like 3 weeks ago.
Well, I give you credit all the time.
Hey, as long as we play 3 days, I don't care.
Okay, I can work that. Yeah. I can work that in.
Now, are you guys going to go see them at Lollapalooza this year?
No, that's
staying clear.
I'd have to kill someone.
First of all, Lollapalooza is awesome, but I am not in my 20s anymore, and I don't know how there are so many 20 and young 30 year olds out there that can drop like $150 on a music fest. It's expensive.
Yeah, but it's like 3 days.
It's I don't want to do music for 3 days.
me too. Like, I'm sorry.
Give me a good 4 hours. I'm fine for a summer.
Yeah,
this point in my life. I can't do it. I'd kill someone.
And it usually happens over like Wizard World Chicago weekend.
It is. This is the big. I should go. I work with those guys now, and I play poker with them every year. And Animal Collective is playing. Whole bunch of bands that I love, and so I'm like, okay, if I time that and then I can leave and make the poker game, and so it's this big ethical.
Well, I remember a couple years ago, Tom, you didn't really go on Saturday, you went on like Friday, and then you were off to Lollapalooza.
I went to see the Flaming Lips,
yes,
they played, so I only went for 1 day. I can't handle 3 days,
Let's lunatics. Talk about how old we are.
It's not old. It's just hate people. I hated people when I was younger.
I'm old and grumpy.
That's not a new thing that I gained as I got older. I've always hated people.
I used to deal with it better when I was younger.
Yeah.
I didn't have any choice.
This has turned into the old man podcast. So
Well, and I
what about this digital TV conversion.
Really rubbed me the wrong way, I'll tell you.
I will say though, I mean, I've been listening to the show since I did the piece for the Chicago Tribune, about a year ago now.
Mm-hmm. And thank you again.
No. That was just my job, but it's just my beat. But so I'd been a regular listener, and I'd only met Chris before and not these guys, and I know there are pictures up somewhere. But you never quite really know, what the show looks like.
It's really impressive, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
just,
sad. Really.
Well, and because I had listened,
Set we've made.
Yes, it is. I always envisioned Tom as looking like Tom Servo. Because you
like a robot?
Well, and I was surprised. And actually, Brian looks more like Crow T Robot. Than I
could
thought.
See. I look like a robot, though.
The bearded
Either
robot.
Either way, a bearded
sort of,
robot.
Sort of a Muppet.
He does a mean robot
on the dance floor.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, anyway. If this was a video cast, I'd be dancing through the whole thing.
Suntress actually put some video up on YouTube of about 3 minutes of our intro from one of the last episodes, and it kind of freaked some people out, especially our UK listeners didn't know quite how to take the visual reveal.
What were they expecting?
I think Matt Burden said he expected the shelves to be made of gold here.
Oh, like it's America.
That's platinum.
It's like
that's
the land of opportunity.
That's,
it's
off bronze.
Yes, it's black painted plastic.
You don't have pictures of your queen everywhere? We don't have a queen.
We don't.
We don't have one. I'm sorry.
No queen.
Well, welcome, Robert. It is a pleasure to have you here.
Unless the comic book queer guys show up, then we have.
Oh, then it's fabulous.
Ooh,
then
the place,
and then we have pink.
Yeah, yeah. Pink. Well, and then the show immediately becomes fabulous.
Yeah,
as Steve tells me. So
fab up the show a little bit.
And you know what else is fabulous?
No, InStockTrades.com.
Yes, sir.
How did I know that was coming?
We're waiting for the trade. Has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of collected editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices, and remember that all orders over $50 do in fact ship for free.
We need to punch up that script.
Yeah, I need to talk to Cameron, which this will come out beforehand. If you are in the Chicagoland or Northwest Indiana or Central Indiana, on July 11th, I believe, at Discount Comic Book Services home store in Fort Wayne, Indiana, they're having their it's Fort Wayne. They're having their 10th anniversary sale on July 11th, and it'll be very similar to their their free comic book day sale, 90% off dent and scratch trades, and 10-cent back issues.
Ooh, wow.
So so if you're in the Midwest, it may be worth heading down
there. You don't own enough stuff.
Yeah.
And go and get it.
I think they're going to have some
stuff. You going down there?
I'm thinking about it.
How far a drive?
It's about two and a half hours from Chicago.
Yeah.
Depends on if you get behind some farm equipment, you know. It's
You're
driving a convoy, right?
Yeah,
CB radios, a bunch of your friends on there.
Yeah, get behind a combine. But anyway, that's gonna be, you go to discount comic book service, or I think
DCB service,
DCBService.com. But also, while we're talking about in stock, our book of our book club, since it's not really book of the month, but our book club episode on Saga of the Swamp Thing will be coming out at the end of this week.
Oh.
Probably Thursday, Friday, something like that.
Hopefully.
But you still have
something could happen between now and then.
Now and when we record,
yeah,
in about an hour.
Never know.
But you do. You never know.
Robert looks like a loose cannon.
He does. He's got Charles Manson eyes.
I'm the only one not drinking, though.
I might twist my ankle.
I'm seriously. Like,
I thought that was a beer.
No, it's Spreckers. It's Spreckers. But, like, I'm, you know, there's way more beer than I thought. As a casual listener, it explains some of Tom's behavior, actually. But I'm just saying.
Tom just got a sad face.
I usually
face
keep
on.
It together.
I'm the one that kind of gets out of hand.
The one that kind of loses it.
I gotta agree on that.
But anyway, Saga of the Swamp Thing hardcover volume 1 is still available in stock trades for 47% off. So
that's,
you can go
cheap
in and check that out. It's like $13.40. So, all right. So there you go.
In stock trades.
Yep. And come back on Thursday, Friday for that episode. And whenever we reveal my pick for book of the month thing, whatever
it is.
Yes, Book of the Season Club.
Gotta find another name for this thing.
I know, it's terrible.
Latch onto it.
All right, we...
Yes.
Oh, gosh, I got a couple other announcements. All right.
Christ! Can we get on with a fucking show?
Real quick, don't tell Mark. On June 22nd,
what?
If you are in the Chicago area and you are a Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan, Amber Benson is going to be at Challengers.
Who's Amber Benson?
Are they paying for these ads?
What
the fuck?
Yeah.
Who? I didn't get a check.
Who's Amber Benson?
And on June 26th.
Was she an extra?
June 26th.
She was one of the, I don't
one
know,
of the vampires?
Yeah. No. She was a vampire.
It's Tara.
Oh, no. She was the,
Willow's girlfriend.
Yeah, she was.
Oh, okay. Lesbian vampire?
Lesbian. No, she wasn't a vampire witch, kind of.
Lesbian witch.
Oh, yeah. Well,
didn't she turn
weird
into a werewolf or something?
Isn't that redundant?
No, that was. No,
yeah,
that,
lesbian witch.
No, it wasn't a werewolf. That was Seth Green's other kind of love interest.
Oh, yeah.
God, this is almost as boring as Buffy.
All right. So, anyway,
who's the other one?
On the 27th, they're having a cookout with Catherine Immelman.
And
is she doing the cooking?
No, Pat. She wanted to, but Patrick wouldn't let her. And
on the
26th, kind of you guys,
move.
I'm going to be on vacation.
Where are you going?
I'm going to St. Louis with my. It's a weekend. A holiday weekend. But you guys are going to be talking to Catherine.
We are.
Yes.
We haven't made that decision yet.
Okay,
Tom, do we want to talk to Catherine?
Tell me where to go and I'll be there.
All right.
Well, so the 26th, you guys will be talking to
Catherine. I guess. I don't even know her.
Well, Patrick is...
How do you say her name? Immonen.
Immonen.
I got to get that right.
There you go.
Before we
but
talk pa- to her.
Patrick is already a volunteer.
Caddy?
K-I.
K-I.
But she wrote the...
Patrick's volunteered to do what now?
Sit in with you guys.
Oh, of course.
Of course
Patrick he does. Wants to sit in.
How much is he paying us?
I don't know.
He's not paying... How much does he pay for those ads is what I want to know.
We'll have to... It's a primer.
Chris is something.
Oh, he's getting some hardcover or something.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, now it works its way down to me.
This is getting uncomfortable. Let's talk about some comic books. As Sal said, we went the last couple episodes not really talking about any specific comics that have been coming out. So let's dive right in. Tom, why don't you lead us off?
I want to talk about the Comics Journal from 1979.
Nice.
A book about old comics.
You just bought that today, right?
I'm going to. Yeah, it's got some sweet interviews in it. What should I talk about first? My books.
Is that Savage Dragon I see there?
Yeah.
You're buying that now?
Yeah.
Me too.
Wow.
That's sweet. Let me make my first pick.
JSA Cobra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
I haven't read it yet.
You haven't read it yet? It's pretty good. So first thing I want to talk about is JSA versus Cobra, number 1, Engines of Faith.
I think that's the title for the part one, Bad Religion. Oh, nice. It's written by Eric Troutman, who also worked on Checkmate with Greg Rucka. Mm. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Good Lord.
Did you hear that? delicious. Pencils by Don Kramer, inks by Michael Babinski, lettered by Pat Brusso, and colored by Art Lyon.
And who did the cover?
Gene Ha did the cover.
There's a lot of Chicago in this book.
There's a ton of Chicago. They're always eating pizza and hot dogs. Like, one point, Mr. Terrific is like, "No, you don't put ketchup on a hot dog." It's a guy. Got a little weird. It was a little too. It was a little too much Chicago in the story. Yeah. Dealing with city corruption. It's a very simple premise. It's the newly revamped criminal organization Cobra, which is like an. The cult religion in the DC universe versus the Justice Society of America. Mm-hmm. And we see it's sort of like some espionage action between the two.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is it, is Cobra, is it, do they follow in from what Ivan?
Yes.
Yes.
It's very much from that.
Yes. Okay.
It also follows in from Final Crisis Resist, mm-hmm. and like okay. it has. Lots of threads from all kinds of different stuff going
okay,
on.
Nope. That's
and sort of
know.
It's sort of focused on Mr. Terrific is sort of the star, I would say, of the – he's the narrator from the JSA side because you have a interesting thing where you got the narrator who I believe his name is Jason something, whoever the new leader of Cobra is from that one shot
right.
that Ivan Brandon did is narrating some of it. And Mr. Terrific is narrating the other half of it. And it's sort of like a lot of machinations against each other, like trying to catch each other off guard. And
right.
You see the justices. Match. Yeah, it's a mental chess match between the two. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, Mr. Terrific, he doesn't believe in God. He's an atheist. And so,
what?
Yeah.
How can he be a superhero?
I know, exactly.
And he's doing what
communist.
The religious.
Secret communist.
Superhero.
Facing like a religious cult. So there's all kinds of interesting little tensions like that. And it has very much the flavor of Checkmate in it as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. With sort of a lot of secret agent checkmatey stuff going on, like
he was in Checkmate, right?
Yeah, Mr.
He's the white king, which is there's the black side of the board. Yeah, well, the black side of the board that's all ops,
I just need to know if he was in it or not. Yes. I don't need a fucking rundown of Checkmate.
But you get to see the whole Justice Society in action, mm-hmm. including Obsidian. You finally get to see Obsidian talk and do stuff, as opposed to he's been forgotten.
He kind of did a little bit in the last JSA issue.
Yeah,
too.
With Jerry Ordway.
You never got to see
and
him really.
The Don Kramer art looks sharp in this issue.
It's very
this
nice.
Might be some mm-hmm. of the nicest stuff. I've seen him do. But if you liked Checkmate and you lament the loss of Checkmate, this book would definitely itch that Checkmate scratch.
And it is a...
which is in a weird place for Chris.
It is in a weird place for me.
Oh, we don't want to know.
We don't want to know where somewhere that Checkmate itch goes.
It's a miniseries, right?
Six issue miniseries. And I'll say, this might shock you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
He didn't like it.
It's kind of known that I'm a Greg Rucka fan, but I think that...
No longer the biggest Greg Rucka
that,
fan.
Apparently.
There's
apparently.
A 500-pound guy. Who
yeah.
Watch big. Out, Greg. Actually, I should probably be afraid.
Yeah, he might come down on you. He wants to eliminate the competition. Yeah,
if I eat you, I'll gain your fandom as well. If I eat you, I eat your brains, I'll get your fandom.
But, you know, I love Greg's stuff, especially Queen and Country and a lot of his espionage stuff. But Eric Troutman brought a level of action to Checkmate that we usually don't see in Greg's stuff. So, Eric Troutman's a guy to watch out for, and he really...
Well,
I think he understands the action superhero, and he's got a great grasp on espionage. So he and Greg, I think, were a great team on Checkmate. But Eric Troutman showed that he's got
basically
chops on his own.
You're turning all your love from Greg into a Troutman.
He's getting on the Troutman train
early. He's jumping on.
That's safer that way.
We've traded emails.
Oh no! It's starting. Run, Eric! Run as fast as you can.
What is your address so I can send you some coffee? That I've made. Are you sleeping?
They never learn. It's amazing.
They never ever learn. They don't expect that tenacity.
Starts with Twitter. Mm-hmm. He finds the prey on Twitter. Yeah. He uses that as, you know, just sort of a...
I've got a big board at home. Yeah. Sturgis. Check.
Uh-huh. I know how you operate.
I'm going to find you.
And if you like the Justice Society, you'll like it too. It's not just a Checkmate. Mm-hmm. You know, it does have a lot of justice. As Power Girl getting in arguments with Mr. Terrific.
Why?
She talks.
Yeah. Really? They all talk. They all get to talk.
There's actually a great scene where it's like, well, this might be a, this is probably a checkmate case, and Power Girl's like, no, they attacked us.
You have
us
no jurisdiction
our,
here.
Yeah, they attacked us in our house.
So you can't let someone punk you in your house.
Does the JSA have an official jurisdiction with the government?
They just go America.
Well, it's but I mean, are they like government sanctioned?
I don't.
The Justice League, Justice League was right at one point, kind of.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was.
I think
was.
They have green cards.
They're so they're legal.
I don't think that they're very welcome in Kondak.
Well, just Kondak doesn't even exist anymore. It really doesn't. It's just like a
Justice Society. It's also like a. It's like a it's like an amusement park too. You know, people go visit the brownstone.
And, you know, a little tour and
get a little tour of the brownstone.
They're like a club. They're like an club that gets together.
But I did like the part where like the suicide bomber comes up to the JSA building because you know everyone knows where the JSA is. Of course, someone wanted to go attack the JSA. It's not hard to find them. They're not like
huge
secret.
Sign that says you know Justice
after our talk with Sturgis.
There's signs in the street saying.
JSA.
Turn this way. JSA headquarters.
After our talk with Sturgis, I was going to crack up if he blew up the brownstone and they just had to surround it in chain link fence.
Keep it safe. Got to keep this lot safe when we rebuild the brownstone.
Let's hear from our guest here, Mr. Elder. You have anything that you would like to chit chat about?
Yeah. I mean, I read Batman and Robin, the Frank Quietly.
They've now merged into one.
Grant Quietly, which I liked actually on a lot of different levels, especially since the new Robin, Damian, keeps calling Alfred Pennyworth.
Oh, didn't it piss you off?
Oh, I love it because it's a wonderful sort of like character defining thing, you know? Because
nobody talks to Alfred that way.
Leave that sandwich over there, Pennyworth.
You worthless cur.
You can go now. You brought me my sandwich.
Well, he has a sense of entitlement. I mean, he does.
Yeah, he's rich. He's a rich assassin kid.
Yeah, come on. He's brought up by a League of Assassins, and he's filthy rich and spoiled rotten little brat, and that's how he'd treat, you know, the servant.
I love it.
I thought it was good. I mean, Quietly is awesome. The story, I don't know. Did you like the story a lot? I mean,
the villain is the pig face.
Is that
yeah. just pig?
Oh, just pig okay.
with a Y, like cobra with a K.
Yeah, exactly. Got to change it up.
Yeah, change it. Pig.
So, what did you like about it?
Just the sense of creepiness, and then I just love that sort of postmodern. You know, a medium has matured when it starts. Commenting on itself, so whenever you can change up who's behind the mask and have a reason behind it, you know, I'm not one of those people who believes like, oh, you know, we have to bring back Barry Allen. I'm like, didn't he die a decent death? Like, do we have to keep bringing people back?
It wasn't great, not as good as Tom would have liked.
I think we remember it better than it was.
I think we remember Crisis as a whole a lot better than it was.
I know, but it's just like I realize they're not just characters, they're properties. But do we really need to bring Norman Osborn back? Like, come on. What's next? Captain Stacy comes back.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll happen.
And he's the Hobgoblin. Like, ugh.
Ooh.
Hey,
copyright 2000.
Yeah.
I think you should start writing for Marvel, man. You got all the ideas.
You got all the sweet ideas.
I don't really care. I mean, I don't care either way, you know. Bring somebody back, don't bring them back, whatever. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, if it works for a story. I mean, I got to say, the whole Norman Osborn thing, I didn't know he was dead. I don't know how he came back.
Yeah, I didn't know he was dead either.
I had no idea he was dead. I didn't know how I don't know how he came back, but you know what? It's been a good character in the Dark Avengers, you know.
Check out the Paul Jenkins and Umberto Ramos.
I don't care.
It's out in trade paperback. Return of the Goblin, very good story. Very good story. Oh. And
I thought the return was metaphorical. I didn't realize it was
actual.
It was a literal return. I was like, oh, okay.
And it's also Ramos artwork, which is awesome. But speaking of artwork, I thought that Frank Quietly, not stretching. Different
it's a
muscles.
Scratchy, which I liked.
It was different. It's different than his All-Star Superman, and I love both both versions of Quietly, but he was doing stuff with type integrated into his art.
Yeah,
that was really
very old school,
really
kind
cool.
of putting splashes and different things. The word splash when something when the car hit the water.
I like that Dick recognizes Eastern European circus slang.
Yeah,
he was in the circus. I know circus slang.
Can't when, pull that. You know,
when I was there running age for the Croatians.
Yeah. Yes. Nice. I was like, of course he knows the European circus slang.
Of course he does. I was lucky enough to talk to Chip Kidd for a couple minutes at the Printers Row Book Fair, and we were talking about Batman and Robin, because Chip Kidd did the logo for All-Star Superman, and he talked about that, and apparently he still has a great relationship with Morrison and Quietly, and I forget exactly how he described it, but he said that that what they're doing with Batman and Robin is kind of a modern bizarro world look at the 1960s Batman TV show.
Yeah.
So that's where you get the sound effects in there, kind of sure. like the bang and the pow, but working it into the art. And
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, well,
with
I mean,
sort of characters.
That was the point of All-Star Superman, you know, just to have fun with that again and mm-hmm. to go. And that sort of resurgence has come back. But it's interesting that it's come back and it's been respected, because I think it was so dark for so long, you know, 1989 on, it just had to be dark.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they brought back some of the science fiction and, you know, let's talk about Superman as an alien again. And I'm like, all right.
It's fine. We can. He loves America.
Yeah, Batman a whole bunch of different ways.
Yeah, and, yeah,
flying Batmobile.
Flying Batmobile.
Yeah,
and that was cool. You probably caught it where Dick is like, something. You know, I have to take my tip my cap or whatever to Damian. I didn't think it would work. Looking at your plans, it was Damian that engineered the Batmobile
right.
to fly.
And he would have killed to have a Batmobile when he was a kid. I liked a flying Batmobile. I liked that it was kind of. It was just like a straightforward sort of Batman story with new, weird, evil circus villains. And anytime you can involve an evil circus in a story, I'm going
to
be there.
Good to go on that. Yeah,
hitting
on that.
Creepy evil circus. Bam!
You got me.
And then,
well, you know, Batman has arguably the best rogues gallery. I know that Tom is very fond of the Flash rogues, and Spider-Man obviously has a fantastic rogues gallery.
Let's not dismiss Elastic Man's
and Elastic Man's. Okay. But it's nice to.
I think Dick Tracy has the best rogues gallery myself, sure. But you know, he doesn't really count.
Well, sure, he
newspapers.
Does. Sure
he no one, reads. But, no one reads those rags.
It could have just as easily been a Joker story, but I'm really glad that they said, you know what? What here's a chance to maybe expand the Rogues Gallery. The last one was Hush?
Let Quietly draw a Toad Man.
And who is Hush? I have not cared about that character. I've tried it really hard. I got the trade paperback. I'm like, really?
I don't know if they've done anything worthwhile with.
Is it still his childhood friend?
Yeah, it's a cool name and a cool look, but why should
Thomas
I care?
Something?
Yeah. Like, I'm
it's just an unknown soldier.
Yeah.
Unknown soldier looks pretty goddamn cool.
But, you know,
though, so.
Who knows? In 3 or 4 years, we may have, you know, without even noticing it, Pig may have joined the great Batman Rogues Gallery. So hopefully something like that, you know, it becomes, you know, that kind of wild and psychotic enough of a character.
It was kind of nice just to read, like, you know? Like a Batman story that was just like a Batman story in a way. And yeah, and it tied into the old stuff, but it wasn't like, what's, you know, like who picks up the cowls? Batman gonna die? You know, right. It was just like, which has pretty much been Batman for the last 2 years has been like, what happens next? Is Batman gonna live in it? It was just like, this
here it is
the
Batman and Robin.
Yeah,
just go
here you go.
It.
And just go. And like at the end, you know, you're just like, oh, I want to see them fight an evil circus of weirdos.
Which was kind of weird, like reading that and then reading the latest issue of Batman, which goes back to the Judd Winnick issue, which was fine, but it was just weird. Like, okay, we've already seen Batman and Robin, and now you're telling us how they
and
got there.
The new Batman appeared in the last issue of Booster Gold. Dick Grayson was, because Booster, they had all the photos that Batman had of Booster proving that Booster was trying to go back and change time, and Batman agreed not to tell anyone. And then Booster's like, Batman's dead, I need to go get those. And Dick Grayson finds him, and they get into a fight with him in the Batman costume. And then,
very good. I do like how all the Batman, whether you're you go from Nightwing to Batman or Robin to Red Robin, you gain about 40 or 50 pounds of muscle.
Yes.
Yeah,
you're bigger. You're huge. Yeah. It's like Nightwing.
You got it. You got to fill in that costume.
I'm just wondering if they're padded or, you know, they're doing the roids.
I think
It's like Hayden Christensen.
Quite
Darth
probably
Vader.
Did the best job. Yeah, he's not making. Yeah. He's a little thicker, a little heavier, but not like
outrageous.
All of a sudden, he's this huge steroid head muscle.
Yeah,
guy.
Some of the other guys, I think, just draw Batman like
it's Batman. Yeah, it doesn't matter who's in there.
But no, I thought Quietly did an okay job. Yeah, he wasn't big. He wasn't like
he was a little
big,
smaller than.
Yeah. But I think Quietly draws people in costumes like that.
Yeah.
The costumes.
Well, yeah,
are
even
like,
Superman. Like we've talked about before, how he's like a dude Superman. In a big. You know,
he's like, a big stocky, like he's a big barrel-chested dude.
He's America's not, quarterback.
Thing I like about Quietly's costumes is that they look like cotton. Like they're not like lycra or spandex.
Yeah,
they're cotton.
Like, they're wearing like real shoes.
with soles
on them and stuff. Yeah.
And it's like somebody threw it together in their basement.
I do like that.
Yeah. Well, there's also that great joke in the middle where Damien's like, "Well, hey, you know, if you're not up to being Batman."
I'll just do it myself, and I'll take care of it.
Yeah, basically, it's like you can't fit into the costume yet. You're like 4 feet.
Yeah, you're like 4 feet tall. Can I get in this costume?
You have to grow into it. Which speaking of a Red Robin number one, this
I'm gonna
week
break up the DC Love Fest with my next thing.
Oh, yeah.
it's funny because I read this week too is like I didn't read that much, but it was all DC stuff. I think
I got a few.
They had a big week.
Let's do a bunch of comics this week.
Just keep talking. Keep going.
Chris Yost and Ramon Bach, B-A-C-H-S on the art, and this is this is basically what's happening with Tim. You know, Tim Wayne, which makes
excuse me.
Hey, factors into the story as well. Oh, it does. Like, it comes up in the story.
He's what to do with Tim. He's odd man out.
With a crowbar.
He's not Batman. He's not Robin. He's kind of pissed off about not being Robin. But
how did that play out exactly? Because
Dick tells him that he's his equal. He's not his protege.
Yeah.
Like
and that Damien
needs the training.
Yeah, Damien needs. Yeah, well, he doesn't
see. Trying to
he doesn't
be complimentary, but at the same time, yeah,
he doesn't need
himself.
Tim to be like his protege. Right. He says, "I need you're like my most important ally," and then Tim still gets pissed.
Why didn't
off.
Tim just become Nightwing?
Who knows?
I guess Nightwing's not important.
Tim's not ready to move on, as we see from this.
Okay,
so he brought it right along. Tim has donned the Red Robin outfit, and he kind of makes a point of it that this is different for him. He's operating on a different set of rules now, and he's Red Robin because that uniform already has a stain on it. So he's not.
Does?
Jason Todd Jason Todd Red Robin for a short amount of time.
Yeah. So, who's the original Red Robin?
Jason Todd, I guess. The character originated in Kingdom Come. That was the first time we had ever seen Red Robin.
Okay.
So and
that's
everyone.
An alternate reality.
So he's not serving burgers, is what you're saying?
No.
Yes,
no.
Exactly.
Okay.
Red Robin does make a tasty burger.
But they don't say who Red Robin is in Kingdom Come, so it could.
It was always assumed that it was Dick.
That it was.
And I'm sure that Alex Ross in his world it is Dick. But that's where it originated, and they kind of retconned it in or whatever. Not retconned it in, but built it up through Jason Todd. Now Tim has taken on the uniform. And gone to Europe.
Where did you get it from?
I don't know.
You ordered
this.
That
is just the order.
Yeah. Well, as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, okay, we're gonna have the flashback where Dick says, okay, Damien is Robin, but I need you as a bat operative or
Red
whatever.
Wing.
Here is
well,
Red
Damien
Robin.
Says. Well, Damien does say like we have a spare Batgirl costume. Damien's the breakout character.
Oh, yeah. As disrespectful as Damien is to Alfred, he is a flat out dick to Tim.
He doesn't like Tim at all because he feels like Bruce chose Tim more than his own son.
Tim is his adopted brother. They're brothers.
Sibling rivalry, but also the idea that Bruce never really. He never really took Damien in as his son.
He kind of took him in to make sure he didn't go out and kill anybody.
That's about it. Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, geez. So Tim is off in Europe tracking down criminals, kind of like bumping into criminals.
Well, he thinks Bruce is still alive.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
How old is Tim supposed to be?
16, 17, I would say.
The fuck does he get to
High
Europe?
School.
Your rail pass.
He's Bruce Wayne's son. He's got access.
You got enough money. You can do whatever you want. In Europe, man, you can do whatever you want.
Who's his legal guardian now?
Steve Wayne. Bruce Wayne's brother.
Hey, what's up? Steve Wayne moved into the mansion. Oh, man, this place is huge.
Billy Bob Wynn.
Oh, man, this place is huge.
I don't. They have not addressed that. I would assume it would be Alfred.
Alfred, probably.
But
he's too busy making sandwiches.
He's going to make tea and sandwiches.
And running the Outsiders.
Yeah, in his spare time.
He's a busy dude.
I like the Batverse right now, but it's very fucking complicated.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on, you know. Yeah. When the main guy goes down, you got all sorts of craziness happening.
I know, but like how long are they going to let it go? It's going to be like Streaky the Bat Cat. Like, are we going to get into pets here soon?
I hope.
Bring back
Ace
Batmite.
You mean Ace the Bat Hound?
But it's amazing what machinations they've gone through to hold on to that name, though. You know,
Red Robin.
Just Robin. Like, let's take the character one more step.
You gotta do Robin.
It's like Rockin' Robin. No, Red Raskin.
No, you know someone was out for a hamburger, and it's like, oh, that's perfect.
Red Robin. What is it? Red Robin.
Red Robin.
Dark Robin.
I don't even know what a red. Yeah, what red?
Black Robin.
I like the costume. It's a cool costume.
Oh, it's a great. Well, I'm sure that's why they. It's
kind of looks like Dr. Midnight a little bit to me.
Yeah, the belt thing.
Or it looks like Hawkman.
It's got a bunch of everything.
It's like a Dr. Midnight,
Hawkman, Robin mix.
Batman, Robin.
No, I love it. And he doesn't have batarangs. He has little Robin discs that he throws.
That's kind of lame. Yeah. Robin discs?
Yeah, they're like little razor sharp
discs.
He
should throw live Robins.
Or Robin eggs.
Yeah.
You could throw Robin
little
eggs.
Blue
eggs.
Yeah. Oh, what is this?
Nobody wants to get that on their face.
No one's with that little blue egg.
Oh, damn.
It's in my eye.
Oh, it cracked. Oh,
you scratched my cornea. Yeah. Oh, damn.
But I did enjoy it quite a bit. It's nice that Gotham is very very crowded right now because you also have Batwoman. So to have him out of Gotham, in Europe.
Finding himself.
Yeah, finding himself, trying to find.
It's a coming of age story.
Yeah,
I had to move slowly through the streets of London due to the bag of Robin eggs.
I didn't want to break them.
See, I think he needs to come back. He needs to come back to Gotham, and they need to have like a Chasing Amy storyline with a new Batwoman. I think that's.
But it was good. The Red Robin.
But it's Chris Yost to. He wrote Scotty's Young X-Men run.
Oh, yeah.
He did the Wolverine versus. Animated films, the Wolverine versus Thor and Wolverine versus
it was well done. Yeah. I hope he sticks around.
Yeah, no, Hulk versus. I'm
now
sorry.
Is that an ongoing or is that a mini?
It's an ongoing.
It is an ongoing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's sort of I guess they got rid of Robin and Nightwing. So
yes, now I believe. Robin. I believe this. Robin. Yeah, Robin. I think this has taken over the Robin.
Yeah.
Slot.
What's taking over Nightwing then?
Batman and Robin.
There's the
Streets of Gotham. Yeah.
Whatever those ones
Oracle.
Are.
Believe me, you're not going to be hurting for Bat titles with Detective
Batman.
No,
there's plenty.
Batwoman. Robin, Red Robin.
Is it Batwoman? Is that the...
No, that's Detective.
That's Detective with Batwoman?
There's a new Batgirl coming out.
Mm. What? Who's Batgirl?
I don't know.
Is it
Tim Drake?
Tim Drake. He takes it. Fine, I'll put on the costume.
Yeah.
If that's how it's going to be.
Fine, Damien. I'll put on the background.
It's very
costume.
Form-fitting. Very form-fitting.
What do you think now?
Well, is it that,
what do you got to say now, smart guy?
Doing the art. Lee
Garbutt.
Wow. Lee Garbutt?
Yeah.
Yes. He has been tweeting that he has done the... he's finished with the design, I guess.
Spoiler. It's probably spoiler.
What?
The Batgirl.
Oh, who is Batgirl?
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
Probably, yeah.
I don't even know. I don't even know who the last Batgirl was. It was...
I don't know.
Barbara Gordon was the last real Batgirl.
Yeah.
Everyone else is a fucking pretender.
And then you got the whole Huntress clan over there.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus
Christ. There's
so many
fucking bat characters.
Yeah. I'll just stick with Batman and
Robin.
Well,
that's shit. That's why they sent Dick to Bloodhaven. It's like Gotham was getting a little fucking crowded, you know?
Good luck parking that Batmobile when you have the Robin cycle and the Oracle helicopter park.
Wheelchair.
Can you imagine it's like editorials like, how can there be this much crime in this city? There are 28 different heroes here.
15 different bat blanks running around this city.
I'd be scared out of my mind to be a criminal in Gotham.
I'm going there.
They keep coming. Must you be something.
You think they just shift to the day? Just they just all it's crime.
Oh, he's sleeping.
There's no one during the day.
Yeah. Nobody here.
Robbing people blind during the day. Go to bed at night.
In by 9 o'clock. Who the fuck is that?
This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Netflix. Right now, you can start a free 2-week trial by going to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics. At Netflix, you'll find over 100,000 titles to choose from, including classics and new releases, as well as TV series. Plans start from as low as $4.99 per month, and you can keep each movie as long as you want with no late fees, ever. Netflix has free shipping both ways, and you can expect your next selection to be delivered in about one business day. Now watch some movies and TV series over the internet for no extra charge. I use this service with my Xbox 360 and personal laptop and love it. So head over to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics and get started with your free trial today. Well, Mr. Salazar, what have you brought to our round table this evening?
Not much. I really haven't been reading a whole lot.
You've been busy.
I've been pretty busy this last couple of weeks, so I haven't read a whole lot. I did read the last issue of Northlanders, which was really, really good. It was sort of a one-shot kind of thing, and it was, if I remember correctly, because I don't have it in front of me. It was basically written around the structure of the writings of a Norseman, like a Viking guy that wrote about sort of a battle, or his ideas about battle and war and his life, that kind of thing. So the narrative was that story or that sort of almost like journal entry of this Norseman. And then the story, the visual story was about these two sort of champions for these different villages that were fighting a battle, and it was just a really interesting tale, and the way he told it and the way he sort of laid it out there with the two different kind of things, because the one story, the narrative, really didn't have anything to do with, at least directly, with what you were seeing on the page. It was sort of the musings of this old warrior, and then you had this kind of tale of these two champion warriors and their history and backgrounds and how they got to be champions of their villages and their, their own character and that kind of thing. And then in the end, it's sort of this sort of fatalistic ending to these two warriors. But it was just a masterful written story by Brian Wood. I mean, he's just so impressive with that book.
He's mastered Vikings.
I never would have thought I would have enjoyed a book like that as much as I have.
I love the first trade. It did not work for me in single issues. I didn't hang with it long enough, and I really it was something that I needed to read a big chunk of and really get into it. And I love that first trade. I'm waiting for the next one. But
well, this issue was just a one shot.
You know what issue that was?
I think it's that one right behind you there. If you want to grab it,
I will grab
art
it.
By right Vasilis there. Lolos, who is a guy that I got turned on to when I read his graphic novel. What is the name of it?
Unicorn Master.
No. God, what is the name of his graphic novel? It's
King of the Unicorns.
No, it's about a train. It's about it's about two kids that get stuck on
Extreme
the
Train.
No.
Oh, was it Extreme from Oni?
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
And I can't Last Call or something like that. Or
that
Last
about Train right.
too. Last Call or Last something.
It's from Oni, and it was very good.
It was really good, and that's the first time I saw his art.
Well,
and,
look up
Vasilis Lolos.
Vasilis Lolos, and it's Vasilis, and his last name is Lolos. And this issue is damn Vertigo books. You never know to find. It's issue 17. No. So
just a fantastic issue. So that's probably my favorite book that I've read this last week, but I have been reading. I got on a kick about Robert Crumb,
mm-hmm.
because that documentary of his, Crumb, the Terry Zwigoff documentary, was on like Ovation, like for 2 weeks straight. It was on every day. And I watched it again, and I was just really fascinated by him. And so I went back and was reading a bunch of like his work. And, you know, he's a really phenomenally talented artist. But I can only read so much of his stuff because, unfortunately, like, I think what makes him a terrific artist is the same thing that makes his stuff too... It makes it so I can't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
He puts so much of himself into his art, but unfortunately, he's such a twisted little nebbish pervert.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, you get to the point where it's like, you know, I mean...
But as opposed to what other comic book creator?
I'm just saying. But I mean, well, but that's just it. Not all the rest of them put that directly into the page. Their work. And he puts that...
Are you listening, Greg Rucka? Yeah. Are you listening?
I mean, it's... as far as an illustrator, the guy is unbelievable. I mean, I look at some of his stuff as just phenomenal, phenomenal illustration. But the subject matter sometimes is just like, wow, I don't, you know, I can only read so much about, like, you know,
large-thighed women
and weird fetishes.
Yeah, you need it in, like, single-page strips or something.
Well, and, like, early on, like, his first, like, the Zap comic stuff, when he first started out, it was really interesting because it was sort of, you know, it was the psychedelic era, and he was just sort of almost pandering to those guys. But at the same time, he had sort of a social commentary on a lot of things. But as it goes on, it just, you know, it gets so far
ditch
away
it for
from
big
that.
Thighs.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like,
it, I'm
and just gets weird.
Thighs.
And occasionally you get, like, you know, something brilliant. But yeah, I don't know. I'm really conflicted with his work because I love seeing it, but it's really hard to take it in chunks at all because it just gets sick of seeing the same, you know, it's just like how many cocks, you know, and like weird, you know, bird headed women with giant asses. And, you know, it's just like, if he
small,
did something
yeah,
with it, you know, but
small,
yeah,
small chunks.
But the
best stuff that's coming out of are all the archives and things like, you know, things he drew on placemats and that sort of documentary. I mean, what was that book? Like Waiting for Food is what it was called. Really great stuff where he's drawing real people just sitting in a diner. Really, I mean, I think that would appeal to you.
Then there's like the Art and Beauty books that he did. He did 2 or 3 of those, which are unbelievable.
Yeah, I love his American Splendor stuff.
Yeah, you know, Harvey Pekar's not that interesting of a guy to me, but I mean, the guy is just a super talented artist. Sure. He's just so fucked up in the head, really. I mean, quite honestly, you look at that, you watch that documentary, and it's like, well, he's the sanest out of his
Yeah, and you're like, he actually turned out okay.
Yeah, but it's funny, I also always think whenever I see him, it's like, you know, there's a lot of guys that have come after him that are sort of that art house cartoonist that to me seem like they put on what he really feels about stuff. I mean, he got so sick of seeing, you know, like he moved to France because they were like building houses in California where he was living, and he was, you know, it's like he was just getting sick of like the industrialization and the commercialization of the United States, and so he moves, and you can tell when he talks about it he's genuine about it, but it, like, you see so many guys that have come after that seem to be almost pretending to be that.
Yeah. Well, it took away all of his subject matter as well. You know, all the stuff that he was enraged about, suddenly he's removed from. It's not like you're David Sedaris and you run out of stories to tell about your family, so you go learn French.
Now he's supposedly working on the Book of Genesis that he's.
And it looks amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll ever come out.
I saw a picture of, you know, from the desk of R. Crumb, and it's like picture stories of the Bible. It's like the illustrated Bible.
He's an unbelievably talented.
Well, in comic form, not really the illustrated.
He amazes me sometimes what he can do with a brush and like real simple lines and stuff. And I think he's just a super talented cartoonist, but. Yeah, it's a tough experience.
You want to like it more than you do.
I really like it's a conflict because I really want to see what he's doing, but
he's
I almost have to just like not read it or just like brush through it and just look at images because it's like, okay, shut up, I don't want to hear your fucking problems.
Just draw something cool.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of this.
Well, you guys want to make a phone call?
Who we cock new now?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll just go through the time. All right. right, looking through the contact list here. Let's talk to Rick Remender.
Jesus, it's illusion.
The contact list,
Mr. Rick Remender. How you doing?
I'm excellent. How are you guys doing?
All right, it's good to hear from you. I think the last time we were going to talk with you was the middle of debate season, and you were off watching the presidential or vice presidential debates at a friend's house. So now it's a non-election year, so we can talk to you again.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I forgot that one evening. I got pretty wrapped up in the election this year.
That's okay, but you broke poor Hillary's heart because he really wanted to talk to you that night.
Yeah, that's tough for Hillary. I mean, he's got my phone number. He calls me usually like 3-4 in the morning. I hear he doesn't let me know it's him. He's *69, but I can tell from the heavy breathing and the eventual sort of sound of exhaustion as he passes out, spent on the floor.
I thought you guys were talking about Hillary Clinton for a second. I was like, what are we talking about? And then I heard heavy breathing, and I knew it was Hillary Barta.
Yeah.
Angry heavy breathing.
Most famous masturbator in comic books.
Well, first of all, congratulations for some non-comic book related stuff. You are a proud papa, so congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been great. It's all the cliches insert here.
Yeah, you smell like poop, and you don't get any sleep now, right?
Yeah, it's not actually hasn't been that bad. I mean, you know, we've managed to. I'm shifting my schedule back to work nights, and that way I can take care of Edie when Danny's asleep, and then kind of shift it back and forth. So we've been managing it, and you know, she's getting acclimated to life on Earth.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations. And then on the comic book side of stuff, congratulations again, because you are you're doing some great mainstream work. It's the stuff on Punisher. I think you found a title that really kind of fits your writing aesthetic. And, you know, you've always kind of written wild, crazy adventure stories. And I think that has turned into a perfect book and a great fit for you at Marvel. What's it been like working on Punisher for you?
It's been terrific, and yeah, it does fit very well with my high adventure sensibility. You know, the thing about a character like the Punisher is it has to be fun and fast paced. Nobody wants to read a writer trying to sort of spew out fancy dialogue of heads talking. You got to get in there, and you have to build velocity. That was sort of my thematic mission statement, was just to get velocity out of the gates, and then working really close with Axel to make sure that the twists and turns came pretty quickly, and that there was a lot of fun reveals. And it should be a fun comic. I mean, the reaction to it has been great. It's been really nice to see people respond to something that's a nice mix between the sort of some of the absurdist stuff that Fraction was doing and some of the more traditional Gur-Hiss stuff that Ennis does. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Ennis had plenty of his own absurdist humor stuff in there as well. So I think it's we really wanted to make a classic Punisher book, and people responded well to it.
I would have to say that you're underselling your absurdity because you did have the Punisher wearing an Ant-Man helmet. So, I mean, let's not walk away from that without mentioning.
But you know, you have to lean into it, right? I mean, yeah. I figure if you don't lean into it, you're gonna go to half measures. And I figure, like, if I'm having fun and I get that sort of berserker manic craziness going while I'm writing, then I know that what I'm writing is gonna. It's going to appeal to the fans of my work, you know, and that's a specific type of person who doesn't necessarily need to feel that their comic is some deep work of literature in order to sort of validate the fact that they're a grown person reading sequential art, you know. And there are a lot of those people out there, and hey, God bless them, you know. I like all kinds of comic books, but for me, it's got to be something it's got to be snappy and smart, and it's got to have a lot of absurdist, action and humor in there, regardless of what kind of book it is. Those things need to sort of be present for me to enjoy it.
I did like that Frank took the time to make sure that all the stuff like matched his like color scheme. I did appreciate
that. He really drew the ensemble together. Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
You're not going to show up without it matching your out. I love that's my favorite.
Well, that's why he had to leave Thor's hammer.
because it just didn't go with the whole outfit.
You can't paint it.
Really.
Well, you talked about writing classic Punisher styled stories, and I think it was brilliant what, and I don't know if you had anything to do with this or Jerome, or if it was editorial, but doing all of the homage covers of the classic Punisher stories for the launch of this series. Who was responsible for that?
Excuse me. That was editor Axel Alonso, who is just a really astute guy. And working with him, I think that my writing has come a couple few leaps and bounds as well. That was Axel's idea, and then we sort of chose the images together of which covers we would use. And yeah, I think that it was great too, because as longtime, you know, comic book fans, it's nice to see sort of homages to the history of Frank Castle, and I think it helps remind you the character's been with us for a little while now. You know, when you can go back and see those beautiful images that were originally created by Jansen and Zach and Frank Miller, you recognize that, you know, he comes from a place of rich history. Hold on for one second, guys.
No problem.
Yeah.
Aww.
Chris, what's your excuse for smelling like shit?
Well, I go home and I drink a lot, and I wake up covered in my own feces.
All right. I was just wondering.
At a Jay Giles concert.
Oh, God.
Okay, sorry. Had a baby crying incident.
No problem.
That happens.
How did this project come about for you, Rick? Was it something that you pitched to Marvel, or was it something they came to you with?
Well, Matt Fraction and I were working on War Journal together, mm-hmm. and Matt had to go and do some lesser known books like Iron Man and the X-Menum thing. I forget the name of it. It's some obscure indie title. Matt had to go do Uncanny and Iron Man, and needed to open up his schedule. And so I was asked to pitch a few things, and worked together with Matt and Axel on a few ideas, and eventually they liked it enough and saw some openings to, you know, put it in the Dark Reign, and we came up with some ideas for how Frank would fit within that as sort of a Guy Fawkes character who's waging a PR campaign from the streets, and it was an interesting perspective. You know, there wasn't one like it, and then we talked about the mythology of Frank Castle and giving him an arsenal that could escalate sort of who he's aiming at, and the characters from his past, the sort of famous characters who have been around, and how to bring them back and sort of reincorporate them into his current, you know, continuity, and to sort of, to build a new mythology for Frank, where by the time we're done with the fourth arc of this, there's not just Jigsaw out there, you know, like Frank's got, a large cast of recognizable villains who are Frank Castle villains and people who Frank has a personal grudge against. And anyway, so all those things came together in a big stew of ridiculous, and everybody dug it. So, we got Jerome Apeña in there, who's, you know, one of my all-time favorites. And, you know, as a collaborator I've been working with for 5 years, just, you know, somebody I never want to stop working with Jerome. I always enjoy it. So it was a real perfect marriage.
Yeah, well, Jerome is fantastic. And I think a lot of us, myself anyway, was introduced to his work on Fear Agent. And we talked with Tony a few weeks ago, and Tony is going to be working with you on the book. Is this is it Fear Agent come to Marvel? Is it kind of feels that
Frank
way?
Punisher with a rocket pack.
Yeah, you know, it's we
start drinking heavy and wearing a cowboy hat.
Well, you know, there's something about the stubbled action hero, that harkens back to, you know, Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers and Han Solo and Chuck Bronson and Clint Eastwood. There's something about that silent, dark badass that's just it's a ton of fun to write. And I think that, I think that Tony and Jerome and I all really love working together, and sure. The collaborations always, I think, produce results that people seem to respond to as well. And it's something where it just kind of happened to happen on Punisher, and I know that, Axel had always, said that Jerome is a perfect fit for the series, and then seeing what Tony had done on Ghost Rider and Fear Agent, I think everybody agreed that Tony would be as well. And then Tan on the current run is also just, he's in the same same category as Jerome or Tony of Badassery, and people are going to be blown away by what he's been producing. But yeah, I mean, you know, on some level, I hope that Tony and Jerome and I can take a crack at all kinds of different characters. And I think that there's obviously going to be some similarities between what we create, because we're all fans of sort of, again, high adventure, you know, pulp with some absurdity in there. And hopefully some humanity, you know, and hopefully some humanity during the velocity you get a look at the characters, you know, humanity and care for them and explore maybe some relationships beyond just the fast-paced, fun action stuff.
Mm. Well, and Rick, this is Rob. I actually had a question about that, the humanity. Is your take on the Punisher, or how close is it, or does it different from, say, someone like Garth Ennis, who said basically that the Punisher is a serial killer with purpose? You know, where do you stand? How far are you from that? Can you just give us your take on it?
We explore that in the second arc, actually, quite a bit. You know, anybody who thinks that they have, that they are judge, jury, and executioner, and in their right mind to go out and assassinate human beings is off kilter, for sure. That's why, for me, he's a difficult character to get into. But once you get in there, and once you sort of get your head wrapped around, you know, that he is this broken, somewhat two-dimensional character who moves forward on this path using his family as a rationale for what could now be just a taste for killing. You know, I think there's a lot of interesting things there to explore, and I delve into it quite a bit in the second arc. In fact, it's sort of the crux of it, and sort of the point of what we're doing there is, you know, is Frank still killing as vengeance? Is he still killing bad men to make sure that other people don't lose their families? Or is he killing now because he has been a killer since he was in the war, and he kills? And now he kills and kills and kills and kills, and a couple decades later, there's no way to stop killing. So I think that, you know, that's what he's been doing. As for the whys, you know, there are people who are big fans of capital punishment and people who aren't. And, you know, that's obviously not a debate I want to get into in a fun book like what's supposed to be a fun book, like The Punisher. But ultimately, you're going to have to, you know, delve into those topics a little bit.
Sure. Now I hope that you have a nice, long, healthy run on the book. But something about that character that might have to be addressed or retconned at some point is that it's so ingrained into that character that he is a Vietnam vet, and we're getting real close to the time where, well, he's not going to be able to be a Vietnam vet anymore.
No, he's not in the Marvel universe anymore.
Is the
Max universe version? Mm-hmm. That's the same guy. That's mm-hmm. the guy who fought in Vietnam, and that's the guy who's in his 50s, and that's the guy who doesn't live in a world full of magic crystals and radioactive men. you know, this Frank Castle. When you deal with what war he was in, you might be dealing with you know, military actions in Nicaragua. You might be dealing with you know, things that happened in the Middle East. But the 616 Frank Castle can't possibly, you know, you have to sort of shift things around a little bit. And this guy, you know, the official thinking is that this guy was not that guy.
Okay. I didn't know if that had been addressed or if that's just something that has kind of been a soft.
That's been driving you insane.
It has. I'm a continuity nerd. I'm a continuity nerd.
Just assume he's
was he in Vietnam? Probably not. I don't understand.
How many tours? I have to know.
It was a Grenada.
Was he in the shit?
Well, but, you know, as the character goes on and on, it's like, you know, unless you get a jump in time with somebody like Steve Rogers, who was frozen, and then has the super soldier serum where he doesn't age, it becomes very tricky, you know. Mm-hmm. And in the case of somebody like Frank Castle, you know, it's a minor shift, and that's why it's great the Max is still out there, because the Max still kind of deals with all that fun Garth Ennis stuff that had his, you know, his dealings in the war. But I think in order for it to continue to work in 616, you have to just assume that he was a soldier in a war or a number of, you know, actions.
Okay.
Well, we're getting pretty close to the point where we could have someone that was frozen during the Vietnam War wake up. Maybe a man
Korea,
out of time.
Yeah.
but a man out of time from the Vietnam War.
Do you know how hard it is to get ice to freeze in the jungle?
Not a half bad idea. I think I'll write that one down. Okay. Idea. Steel.
Well, we talked real briefly about Fear Agent a couple minutes ago, and that book has not finished yet. You have a few more issues coming out. What the is it official number 32? Is that what we're looking at as the end of volume one?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and then we're going to take a break for a little while and go play in the Marvel sandbox.
Okay. I don't blame you. It breaks my heart, but I don't blame you.
Another reason why Chris hates exclusive contracts.
God damn it.
Buy yourself some fancy pens.
Yeah, yeah. Needed health insurance for the new baby, I guess.
And it's not like Heath is gone or Fear Agent's dead. I mean, the last arc wraps up basically what was set in motion in the first arc, and it all comes full circle, and there's a nice little bow, and I finally get to, you know, it's nice that we got to tell, you know, the whole story, and it's nice that, you know, the art team on that is going to be Mike Hawthorne and Tony Moore and John Lucas, so it'll be, you know, guys who have been working on the book the whole time. And so the art's going to be stellar. The first couple of issues are already done, and it's just, it's beautiful. These three guys are working in tandem to just produce the best pages the series has seen. And, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, you look at how many creator-owned books actually get to, like, 30, 31, 32, and, mm-hmm. you know, they're out there, but they're few and far between. And I think that I can fairly well say that, for Fear Agent, we don't have one issue we're not proud of. You know, the book has been late, and we haven't, you know, shipped it like clockwork, there's no doubt. But when all is said and done, it's quality you can hold up against anything that's ever been made, as far as I'm concerned. Right. At least the art. You know, I won't speak to my own writing, because that's incredibly crazy.
Well, I think all of you guys are going to be very, very proud of that book for a long time. And it's, you know, for us, and, you know, maybe me more than the other two guys, it's a book that...
Why are you trying to kiss ass?
I'm kissing ass. I'm sorry. It's a book that you know, is special to me because it was one of the first books that
we ever found out about in a bathroom.
That we ever found out about in a bathroom in Chicago. And
that's right.
So it's Fear Agent's been a part of Around Comics since it first came out.
Yeah, that's right. 2005 in a bathroom in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly time goes by, huh?
Look at us all now.
Look at us now. Yes. Rick's at Marvel writing Punisher, and we're still sitting here.
We're still
here.
Comic book thing. Shop on a Friday.
We're out of the bathroom, at least.
Well, yes, we did get out of the bathroom.
We did get out of the bathroom, but not too far from it. Hey, Rick. You obviously, we've always joked that, you know, you're the hardest working guy in comics. You're an incredibly creative guy. You've always got, you know, multiple books going on, and now that, you know, you have the exclusive with Marvel and everything, and you're going to be doing, you know, playing in that sandbox. But I'd imagine it's going to be hard for you to stop, you know, to turn that switch off, to turn off that creative, you know,
creator-owned switch.
Yeah, I mean, are you still going to be working on things, thinking of the future? I mean, or is there still a place where you could do something like that, even though you're a Marvel exclusive guy?
Sure. I mean, you know, I'm finishing up Last Days of American Crime right now, and that's going to be a 150-page special that comes out through Radical Comics. It'll be 350-page issues, and I'm working on that with Greg Tocchini, who's going to be a huge star. He's amazing. Alex Maleev is doing covers. And so that's kind of scratching my itch to do pulp crime stuff with a little bit of a high-concept spin. And then, you know, we've still got issues of the old Fear Agent to get through. And then we've got, you know, another issue or two of Endly coming out, the last few of... With the stuff I've got right now, I'll have creator-owned coming out until December still. And then beyond, you know, probably actually until next February, I still have creator-owned stuff scheduled. But I really want to make sure that what I do at Marvel is the best possible I can create. And I don't think that, you know, you obviously distinguished it between creating, you know, and creator-owned. But I think that what's going on at the House of Ideas these days, you know, it's easy to sort of cynically assume that it was only for money, but I'm not doing, you know, so bad. And the Marvel deal for me was also was a big opportunity to sort of step up to the plate of a lot of the guys who are my heroes growing up. You know, the Walt Simonsons, the Mike Zecks, and the Frank Millers, and the even, you know, the stuff that Roger Stern was doing then, and then you know, guys like Grant Morrison, and I want to be, I want to see if I'm capable of producing comic books on that level, and to be in league with guys like Jason Aaron and Brubaker and Fraction and Bendis. I think that we're in a really unique situation where we're all kind of like-minded people, and we've all got crazy bugs. And I for me, like, I think that, you know, it's important that given this opportunity, which is an incredible opportunity, it really is. You know, they're giving me the keys on a couple of big things and letting me go wild with them. I want to make sure that every single issue is up to a standard that anybody who spends their hard-earned $3 or $4 gets every penny's worth. You know, that the pages are packed full of fun ideas that engross and stories that are captivating. And in order to do that, I think it's important to really focus my energies at Marvel for the next couple few years. And you know, any energies that would go to that creator-owned bug need to be redirected into making these Marvel comic books just top quality. And so for me, that's sort of my mission right now, and is to redirect all of my energy and focus on the Marvel projects for a couple years and just see what I can do with them.
Yeah, well, and it's not, you know, I still kind of think of you as one of the younger writers out there, but I mean, you've written a lot of comics, you've drawn a lot of comics, and you've worked your way, I don't even want to say up to Marvel, but you've put your time in on a lot of stuff, and I'm sure it's got to be exciting for you to just work on characters that you're excited about, that you've probably always wanted to write stories for.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I always say that, like, for me, it was, you know, I started reading comics in 1983, and from 83 to, like, 93, I was all about superheroes, and then from 93 to, you know, 2003, I was all about, you know, indie stuff, and I'd really like to find a middle road with that, and so I've got a lot of enthusiasm to find, you know, ways to take interesting and unique points of view and characters like Henry and Punisher. You know, he's a straight-edge punk kid. There's no straight-edge people in the Marvel Universe that I know of right now, and not as such. You know, he's a strident 80s hardcore straight-edge kid. That's something that comes from my youth as growing up as a skate punk and the things that I sort of, you know, I am drawn to outside of comic books. And I think that it's an interesting opportunity to be able to sort of mix those two worlds. And the kid in me couldn't be more excited. You know, it's a giant, you know, it's a giant opportunity. And, you know, I'm not one of those guys who sort of looks at it like I deserve it or earn it, or that I'm, you know, that it's in any way beneath me. And I have, you know, I always throw this number out because it helps me validate the last 10 years of my life, but I have done 26, 27, you know, graphic novels worth of material that I've either written or drawn at this point. So I have been here a long time, and doing a lot of the different jobs because I love the art form. I'm just drawn to it. I can't stop. There's no amount of money that can pull me away from doing it. And, you know, being given the keys when they're going to make some announcements here in a couple mm-hmm. weeks about some of the other things I got coming up at Marvel, and the kind of things they're giving me the keys to, you can't not feel both, like, sort of, you know, excited like a child and super honored that they see enough in your writing to hand these things over to you.
Yeah, well, I would hope no one would begrudge you the idea of working at Marvel. I mean, you know, it's
comic fans are reasonable.
Yeah, well,
I would hope that even you know, if it's just something that not everybody's going to like what I do, but I would hope that you know, I don't know. I think that there's an inherent quality in what I write. I pour a lot of time and energy into it. I know that it, you know, everything I've written in the past few years is the absolute best I'm capable of, and so if somebody doesn't like it, I never really feel so bad, because it comes down to maybe we have different sensibilities, or they don't understand what I was going for in the sense of maybe some absurdity, you know. And ultimately, that's if you're doing your best and working like an animal to do your best, that's it. That's all you can expect of yourself. And from there, people are going to like it or not like it. I would just hope that anybody who's got any predetermined, you know, positions on anything would give the books a chance, especially Punisher, because there's a lot of people that have you know, they have an idea in their head of what a Frank Castle book is going to be. And I know that anybody who reads this, you know, The Living in Darkness, that just came to an end, the first arc that we've done, I don't think anybody can walk away from that and not be entertained and have enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a good Punisher.
I don't
story.
Like the Punisher, and I like your Punisher. So I'm one of those Thank people you. With the preconception about Punisher.
Well, hey,
I mean, it's easy to have these are characters who've been handled by a lot of different people, and they've gone through a lot of incarnations. So hopefully, it's something where, enough people have been saying, you know, the reviews have all been glowing over this, and the numbers have been going up issue by issue, and we sold out of the first three, and they did reprints on the first two, and I'm hoping that over time enough people, you know, spread the word that the thing continues to build, and, you know, seeing something go up in numbers on issues 3 and 4, that never happens. You know, that was a really nice treat, because, you know, doing something like we've done on this, which is very different than what's been done in the past with the character, and then seeing that it paid off, it could have gone the other way. So it was very rewarding.
Going back just a second, you know, to your decision to work with Marvel and work on the Punisher and everything, was there ever a point? I mean, we as comic book fans always look at things in a weird, jaded way of like creators.
No.
Well, I mean, especially when it comes to, you know, like creator owned versus the big companies, blah blah blah, that kind of thing. But personally, for you, was there ever a point where you thought about going, well, I don't know if I want to work for Marvel because of you know, the idea that you aren't creating your own work, or was it just the idea like, hey, this is just a, you know, it's just a job. It's just, that's your job. You're a writer, and this is an opportunity to write, you know,
real formed opinions on creator own and creator rights. You know, there's no question about it. I when I started doing comic books, my main motive was to do what I've done, you know, between Blackheart Billy and Nightmare and Doll and Creature and Strange Girl and Triple X Zombies and Sorrow and The Last Christmas and Gigantic and Fear Agent and The End League. I've made a lot of creator-owned comics, and a lot of them. I didn't just do 3 issues and then walk away from them like most of the guys who were doing them in the 90s and lose interest like children. I've completed every story I've started, and something like Strange Girl, that took us to 4 trade paperbacks, even though our sales were only 3,500 copies a month, and we had a real loyal readership who loved the book, and for them and my wife, who also really loved it, I finished the thing out. So I've got you know, my own strident points of view on those things. But I just think it's important for everybody to do both, and I think it's important that whichever one you're doing at any given time, you give it everything you've got. I think that's the only way to feel good about it. Like, otherwise you're going to be, you know, scouring the internet for reviews and really letting them affect you or shape your future moves or how you feel about something. I think that you have to just give it everything you've got and kill yourself on it and just beat yourself against it and not sleep at night and figure out, you know, don't let one page go by that you haven't scoured, you know, your mental library and found a way to make it as captivating or as interesting or as, you know, potentially profound, even, you know, in some cases, as you can. And if you're aiming for that, you know, I think that you'll always feel good about your work. And if that's it, you know, Marvel or DC or in a creator-owned book, you know, as long as you're, you know, dipping into the, you know, both pools, as long as you're going in the hot tub and the pool, I think that you're good to go. I think it's not a great idea to try and solely do one or the other.
Sure. Well, you know, talking about different, you know, working different muscles, that kind of stuff, and different experiences. You came up as an inker and a penciler and a writer, and so, I mean, you are one of the real multi-talented creators in comics. Sounds like you're pretty busy writing. Do you have any desire to get back to the drawing board at all?
It's funny because I actually, the thing I have had a desire to do is I have my animation table from, you know, I started in animation for 4 or 5 years, and then started, you know, writing and drawing my own comic books such as Captain Dingleberry, Blackheart Billy, and Doll and Creature, some of these earlier things that I had done. And then eventually, you know, I was still making my living off and on as an animator, and then the comic book stuff really just swallowed me up. But, I was moving my stuff around, and I moved my animation desk downstairs, and I've still got a really nice, really nice rig. And I was down there the other day looking at it, and I was thinking like how much fun it would be to just put together some animations for my website. You know, I got so burned out on animation that I never wanted to do it again. You know, after you do it for 12 hours a day for 5 years during deadline crunches on film, So yeah, it was strange. I did have the bug, and I do have, you know, occasionally get the bug to lay something out, or I go to cafes or bars with friends, and I'll bring my sketchbook and do a couple pages, and I really enjoy the few times that I, you know, find an opportunity to draw anymore, because there's not so much pressure, and it's not that constant need to get better, 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 and that's not good enough, and that, you know, your anatomy's fucked and your lighting's off. It's more just for the joy now, and so it's nice. I can kind of, you know, when I do manage to get back to it, I can have a little fun with it, opposed to it being sort of mandatory that I constantly scrutinize it.
Well, maybe you can knock out a Punisher cover one of these days.
I actually thought about it. That'd be fun. Unfortunately, I'm so booked up with writing. You know, about 4 years ago, the writing stuff just really started taking off. And I couldn't be more booked with the kid and, you know, with the five projects I've got on my plate right now. There's just no time.
Well, last thing, or maybe a couple questions here. I've got one. Back Fear Agent real quick. There'd been a few rumors that we might see an omnibus at some point. Is there anything cooking with a Fear Agent master collection of that first volume?
Yeah, and Dave Land and I at Dark Rush have talked about it, and he wants to do it, and so I think that it was something we were talking about. Once this is done, we'd wait a year and then put it out. So, you know, sometime in the next year and a half. And, there's a lot of stuff brewing in the background on Fear Agent, a lot of announcements I'm itching to make.
Fantastic.
And that'll be one of them pretty soon.
All right.
No more questions. Congratulations on both the baby and the Marvel deal and everything. And you know, for us, I know Chris and I especially, it's a lot of fun to see. Having met you and, you know, guys like Jason Aaron and Tony and all these guys, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, and when now you guys are all over at Marvel, and it's pretty neat for us.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's cool for us to see. So don't forget about us when you guys are running Marvel, all right?
Yeah, well, I don't know about yeah. I couldn't forget about you guys. You're etched into my mind. I mean,
burned
I was locked in a men's room surrounded by you guys. I believe it was hot and sweaty in there too. I don't want it.
Let's not get into the details, Rick. Yeah, details.
I still have pictures.
It was actually hot and sweaty in there. No innuendo there.
It's just sexual. The whole con is hot, just hot, sweaty men.
Just
hot.
Rosemont area is just really
hot and sweaty. Yeah.
A little muggy in the men's room. You guys have always been great and really supportive, and I always love talking with you. I'm always available for a chit chat.
Awesome, except during presidential debates.
Except during presidential debates, that's right.
Yeah. Real quick. Speaking of conventions, what conventions are you going to be appearing at this year? Just so in case people want to track you down.
Just San Diego for me this year.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to take off all the other shows because with the work and the baby. So I will be at San Diego, and I will be giving away ash cans for Last Days of American Crime with Alex Maleev and Greg Dukini at the Radical booth, and signing a bunch of stuff at Marvel. And we'll have announced my new Marvel projects by then, and hopefully have some preview stuff to show. And I'll be at IDW pushing Nightmare and Black Art Billy, and at Dark Horse doing the Fear Agent and League Gigantic push.
So just sort of a chilled out weekend. Relaxed weekend.
Bouncing around seeking validation.
and surfing.
Surfing. Love me.
Do you like me? Do you?
Really? Am I good?
All right. Well, Mr. Remender, always a pleasure. You enjoy that time with the new baby. Tell Danny that we send her our best as well, and congratulations on all the great work that you're doing, man.
Will do. Awesome, guys. Thanks. Take care.
All right. Talk to you later, Rick.
Bye, Rick.
All right. I want to thank Mr. Rick Remender. Always good to talk to
Rick Remender.
Mr. Remender. So
yes.
go pick up some Fear Agent trades.
You love that Fear Agent.
That's a great book. I'm gonna miss that book. But
it's too bad that he's getting paid.
Yeah.
And his baby can eat.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It's a shame.
Hey, but, you know, the baby can read me Fear Agent stories, and that's okay.
Then everything will work out.
Then everything will work out just fine. So, no, I'm very happy.
Just imagine a cowboy hat and a jetpack on the Punisher, and you'll be fine. Man,
I want so bad for Tony to work in some sort of little Fear Agent Easter egg into Punisher.
Wow. I mean, he kind of did with Ghost Rider. I mean,
yeah.
He had... The trucker Ghost Riders,
yeah. Which is so Fear Agent to do that. So yeah, we'll see. But I'm very happy for Rick and his success and the addition to his family. That's great. And his wife Dani is a very, very nice gal. So that's happy for the Remenders. All right. Well, I tell you what, let's get some voicemails and some emails.
Holy
here.
Moly.
We have a voicemail. And if you would like to call the show, you certainly
the right
can.
Number
I can
this
give
time?
Give the right the. I think this is the right one. Okay.
Jesus
check the website, but I believe it is
1-888. Why do you keep calling me about comics? Who are you?
Who are you? 1-888.
You're not Marlon Brando.
Who are you?
1-888-977-5903. But double check the website.
If this guy's don't not take British, if he's not British, I'm
this
not
is
be
not
happy.
This is not
it's
British.
American.
It's not Australian. Real.
This is actually someone who I believe had voicemailed us or emailed us before.
Hello, Around Comics. It's Alan from the cornfields of Southern Illinois, and that would be Robinson, Illinois.
American.
About 30 miles south of US 70. So I figure any place where it takes you 45 minutes to get to an interstate is as rural as it gets.
Shit.
And just called. Want to tell you I like the show. And Tom, yes, I know you're reading old comics, but I've never read them, and I really enjoy listening to you. Snark about them. You always get a laugh out of me. So
it's a lot of snark.
Keep up the good work, and I'll keep listening. Thanks. Bye.
Does he even? How does it? If he's 45 minutes from a freeway, how does he get comics? Period.
I had questioned. Alan had emailed us, I believe, that he was from Southern Illinois. He was from Southern Illinois, and I questioned his Southern Illinoisness.
You and your weird, regional.
Did he flash you like a gang signal?
Well, you ever chase a raccoon?
Southern Illinois, son.
No,
I never chased a raccoon with pine cones.
I had the disclaimer that unless you're from south of Mount Vernon, that's technically not Southern Illinois, but Robinson, Illinois
anything south of 45th Southern Illinois.
I was laughing at last week's episode when Chris was all proud because
watching PBS.
No, because of what's his name?
Bob Odenkirk
from I just kept thinking, I'm like, wouldn't that just make you depressed, not proud? I mean, you went to the same college and he's a big famous star and you're not. Doesn't that kind of... I mean, I don't know why you would trumpet a guy that's gone to the same college as you and been so much more successful than you are.
That guy beat me up.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't know. I just was wondering.
Interesting. Yeah. But Alan is from Robinson, which is kind of equidistant between like St. Louis, Chicago, and Indianapolis.
He's in the fucking sticks.
It's
where the fucking dragon shows up. Nobody knows what goes
you
on down there.
You nuke that fucking area. Nobody would even notice.
I was going to say they did in Kingdom Come. That's the point.
Yeah. But Alan, yes, you have Southern Illinois cred. Take it for what it's worth.
Nickel.
And apparently listens to a lot of podcasts. I'm sure that's not much else to do in Robinson, Illinois. So that's
I don't know.
So, but
know.
But thank you for calling. And
fucking Heartland.
Along
if
the
it plays in Robinson, it'll play anywhere.
Along the theme of Fester being our only caller, because I had
did Fester
learn how to dial a phone?
No, I mean, like, if he kept giving out the wrong number,
yeah,
he must have went to the website.
He's the only guy that went to the website. Here's another one.
So I was hearing something on the show there that apparently only Fester listens to Around Comics.
People take
offense.
Well,
now the great Ulysses Ontosaro also listens to Around Comics. And that's all you need.
Ulysses.
Is he drunk or a foreigner? Or is he a drunk foreigner?
Sounded drunk.
I don't know, but so
we mostly
yes.
get drunk.
Ulysses.
Parolees.
Yeah, we're big in prison.
We're huge, giant in prison.
Wayward homes. Yeah. You know,
halfway houses.
Yeah, that's
we're huge. Yeah, all these places. Anywhere we're disaffected, like teens.
You know, it's funny. Just talking about like where, because you know, you can go in, we can look at our stats and find out where like a lot of our downloads and stuff come from.
Yeah.
And there's a website out there that for the last 6 months or more has been the number one place that our show's been downloaded from.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone to it.
Prisonlistening.com.
I don't know what it is because it's Japanese.
Really?
Or Chinese. Ah. It's I don't know what it is because I go there and I can't understand it because I don't speak the language or
weird.
Read the language. And,
that
yeah, and I'm
weird.
Like, what is like, why so, that?
You're listening to us through this Japanese state. Send us, tell us what it is.
It's very strange.
Like,
I don't know.
It's like secondhand Japanese panties.com. That's what it is.
It's probably called like stupid fucking Americans.org.
Well, the website's like so-so or moso or yeah, something so-so. Like so-so.com.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's
I noticed,
very
like,
strange. It's
that?
Very. Right.
If you listen
no
to
idea.
Us through SoSo, send us
an email. Yeah,
no, or voicemail. That, like Hello Kitty, Pikachu stuff in it. You know, or like Mecca.
Mecca.
No Mecca robot. Emails.
I'm thinking it's like maybe it's Chinese and it's you know like communists trying to find out about American culture.
Are we toppling communism
maybe,
in China?
Maybe we are.
Our freedom of speech.
Or we're. You know, kind of
building
them
up.
I don't know, one way or the other.
Whoever's getting, will get the money.
Either way, yeah.
We're having an influence in one way. Mm-hmm. So
they shouldn't have been protesting in Tianemin Square.
Oh, God, 20 years
Tom,
ago, can you believe that?
Come on.
Whoever
really?
Gives us money. The communists
want
to advertise.
Man. You are hardcore.
Capitalism, my friend.
All right, so there's some voicemails. Here's an email, and if you want to email the show, you can do so at info@aroundcomics.com. Please put listener feedback in the subject line. For me. It says, hey guys, I love your show and listen to it from work, thank as you. Well as doing chores around the house, which is most of the time. I'm thinking that he's perhaps married.
You poor bastard.
This is the funny part. You mentioned that you put on your site the subject of the next podcast every Tuesday, I believe.
Yeah, 2.5 years ago we did
but
that.
But try as I might, I cannot find it. Can you please indicate where I may find it at aroundcomics.com? Thanks
and
keep up the good work. And I think that's from Roger C. So, yeah, Roger, I think that you started at the beginning of Around Comics and are working your way forward. So, in a couple years, whenever you listen to this episode, you will have gone through many format changes.
You've been hiatus, you quit for a while.
If you make it to this episode,
you've gone through a lot.
Yeah, you'll find out that we don't do topics any longer.
Yeah,
we just get together.
Yeah,
talk.
Roger, we ran out of topics after about 40 episodes.
There's 10 topics, and we did them.
We covered them all.
We moved on.
Yeah, we're good.
So, yeah, that kind of
And then he's going to listen to this. He's going to, I assume he'll be listening to this in a hover car. I'm going to send another email.
I'll send a mind mail.
That is the weird thing, is that people can listen to old episodes, and to them, it's new.
Brand new.
To us, we recorded it.
I don't even remember it. Yeah.
I don't
Jesus.
Know.
Maybe we should take those down or something, you know?
It's going to be weird when one of you is hit by a car.
Jesus!
What do you mean when?
Which one of us? Do you have a vision or something?
I was a little worried about the whole Mexico trip that I wasn't going to be able to come back.
Yeah.
And it's not funny. It's kind of fucking scary. Is that if you saw all the stuff that happened in Acapulco a couple weeks ago, that was like a mile from where we were staying, and it was like a 4-hour gunfight, and
damn
like
it.
18 people died.
Hey, no, not that you would be hurt, but just the idea that we may, you know, you could have been stuck down there, and we could have gotten you on the phone and heard the panic.
I
in your
should
voice.
Have been much more clear.
I wouldn't want anything to happen to you.
I traded price for accuracy.
Well, thanks, Tom. Thanks.
I should have been more clear on when you were going to be there. It's all right, though. We'll move on.
All right. Tell you what's that?
Ever forward.
That's
our motto.
Good to know ever I'm forward. Loved. Let's wrap this puppy up.
Any more emails? No more emails?
No more for this one. Right. Yes. Send us more emails.
I thought we got like 3 or 4 this week.
I think there's...
They're mostly death threats, really.
We're always pushing emails ahead 1 week. Where did they all go?
Chris never wants to read more than one. He wants to do one email.
We'll catch
it up next week,
we'll
and we never
up,
do.
We'll catch up on emails.
We never do. Because we got to call Rick Remender. We got to talk
to... That email probably did come a couple years ago.
Probably, yeah. He just got to it now.
Exactly.
We keep pushing it ahead 1 week.
We'll get to it next week. We'll get to it next week.
Jesus,
why would anybody email us?
Yeah. Should I buy the first issue of... Crisis on Infinite Earths.
How about that 92 World Series?
Yeah.
Yeah,
We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. And there was a very cool interview with Jim McLaughlin at Newsarama.
But by the time you listen to this, they'll all be dead. So don't worry about it.
Oh, that's terrible.
You're right. Listening to this, it's a waste. The world is a wasteland.
Yeah. It's you and the cockroaches.
You are the resistance.
Good Lord, it's like the late shift in here. The CBQ guys have come in, and Brandon. Jose was already here. Tom Stillwell just came in. People wanting to go out tonight.
I want to go home.
Hey, iTunes music reviews. I'm not complaining.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
You are.
I am complaining. You're always complaining. It's been like 2 weeks since we got an iTunes music
review.
Well,
maybe we just haven't put out very good shows.
Everyone who's written one for Around Comics should write one for Tom versus the Flash.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and vice versa.
I'm sure they'd well, maybe not.
Maybe not.
You might have
maybe
people.
Maybe I've got 194. I'm steaming ahead full force.
You're going to pass this up.
Yeah, I plan on it.
I know you do. I know you do.
I mean, it's better. It's a better show.
We got one on League of Nobles.
Oh, I need to leave you guys a review.
I think we have one review.
Really? Was it good?
Yeah, it was a good review. Yeah. I don't know how. Well, it was like written before the.
Did they write it before an episode came out?
No, the primer had come out. The primer episode.
That's weird. Someone wrote one for Tom vs. the Flash when I first started. Before, like,
it was available.
They said. They didn't even listen to the first
They just assumed it would be good.
And they gave me 4 stars, which I thought was kind of unfair. Not that I complained about the 4 stars, but the fact that...
Why not 5?
Yeah, you've really... I didn't even earn that. And I could have a 5. I could right. be a 1. You don't know.
Why an unjust 4 stars?
Why can't you just take the compliment, say thank you, Mom, and move on?
Well, because most of the others were 5s, and I'm sure
that your mom
was giving the perfect. It's weird. Your mom was giving other people 5s.
Have you got any bad reviews?
No, it's
no bad. Yeah, all good.
They're all good.
That's solid.
Yeah. Well, it's weird to think of writing a review and specifically mention that you haven't listened to it.
Yeah, I don't know where. Well, who knows? They listen to your show, Tom. Who knows what the fuck going on?
You want to talk about a fucking halfway house crowd?
Guys that will listen to you talking about old Silver Age Flash?
Yeah.
They're just trying to find things to do so they don't fucking slit their wrists.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a culture of fans that are predisposed to judging things before they come out.
It's a bunch of people, you know, who don't. Their shoes are all Velcro because they can't have shoelaces.
No belts.
No belts. Yeah. I mean, that's the type of crowd.
It's all right. They're a captive audience. Mm-hmm. They're not going anywhere for at least 3 or 4 years.
I love them more than they love themselves.
Well, speaking, you mentioned Tom versus the Flash and the League of Nobodies.
The League of Nobodies. We'll have another episode out here as soon as I can edit it.
1985.
Marvel. Yes.
You guys have
Frank,
a real
or, Mark Miller
cornucopia of American dialects and one British person.
Yeah, we have me, which I don't know what my dialect is. I don't know if I really call it like a Chicago
suburb.
Yeah, it's not really. Yeah. And then you got Scotty, that's kind of like half.
Southern drifter?
Southern
hobo.
Yeah.
I call it Southern, like I've been on a train to the
right.
South.
Then you have Braxton, who's sort of like real
comical,
South.
Comically South.
Yeah, like Southern, Joe, you know.
What's y'all?
Southern
what,
idiot, kind of.
He's got Southern slow.
Southern slow.
He's got grits in his accent.
What y'all think of this here bound book?
And then there's Matt, who's I can't understand half of what he says anyway.
It's a
British guy.
Weird.
Yeah,
like, it's just.
But it's a good group. Yeah. It's a we're having fun with it.
And then me and Vince and David and Wood on 11 o'clock comics every Friday.
My favorite comic book podcast.
Really?
Yeah, it's the only one I listen to.
Wow.
Other than ours.
Yeah.
When I'm not on.
Whenever you're not on. So
I listen to ours.
I feel honored then. Yeah. Well, thank you.
It's not you.
I know.
I wish Chris would just shut up so I can listen to the other guys talk. I listen to Chris talk all the time.
I like
shut
how you
up.
Said,
I wish they'd kick you off that show.
I like how you said comic book fans are stupid. Like, you pretty much just came out and said comic fans are stupid. I've said that, but never on the air.
Until now.
I would never.
That is my Mr. Hyde cast. This is my Dr. Jekyll.
I don't know what they put in your
bourbon.
Yeah, I was going to say the pornographic descriptions of the liquor that you guys are drinking. I could almost never make it past that, actually. I'm like, okay, you know I'm drunk really, just from listening to that.
I think the anger comes from the loneliness of it being a Skype cast.
Yes.
Like four men sitting by themselves.
Dark room, naked.
Like, I can see that, yeah. We kind of have that issue with the League of Nobodies. You know,
doing Skype. A Skype cast, it's different. It's different.
It is.
You're just constantly not trying to talk over somebody, you know.
Yeah.
Or
which is here.
In Braxton's case, you're constantly trying to talk over somebody.
Well, how can I tell if y'all are talking?
Nice.
I plug this computer.
All right, Windy City Comic Con. Check it out, WindyCityComicCon.com. It was Saturday, September 19th. 80 creators, 20 vendors. I'll be married. A day of fun.
Holy shit, you will be.
You will be married.
When's the bachelor party?
That is an issue that's
up in the air.
It's just going to involve drinking during a day someplace. Somewhere in Chicago, I think.
Cool. We should do a bachelor party cast.
We should. I'm going to make the whole summer a bachelor party.
Cool. All the way to September.
Yeah, we should do. Oh, speaking of baseball game, two episodes. Our next episode will be our book club, and then the episode after that next Monday will be a very different type of episode. It's going to be our second annual road trip episode. So coming to you from the road. So look forward to that.
I'm
picking out all
road trip music. I'm
going to email Tony and Jason Aaron, and I'm going to have them get me some good truck driving music.
Truck driving music?
And we'll do
Is
all.
There such thing as good truck driving music?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Isn't it just Waylon Jennings? Isn't that pretty much?
I got a lot of Waylon Jennings at home. Oh, Jesus. It's going to be awesome. Going to throw the hammer down.
Great big
if there was one thing that would get me to go back and edit this show again, it's Chris's choice. I know that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to pick the worst possible fucking music on the planet. I'll just finally go, all right, fuck it. I'm gonna edit the shows again, but it's not gonna happen.
I know it's not gonna happen. So
what kind of shit you pick?
Conway Twitty. Oh, best tweeter username. Conway Tweeter. I just cracked up.
I think I'm over Twitter already.
Really?
I haven't been on it in like 2 weeks. I haven't really posted much on it.
You missed
in 2 weeks.
Some awesome stuff.
No, I don't think so. I go back on it. And
well, Rob, you tweet?
Yeah. I just joined up. In fact, I tweet. Let me see. I have it hooked up so my tweets go directly to my Facebook. So I don't even. It's all one way. But yeah, no, I do it. Cool. It's interesting, and I get to. Again, I do a lot of movie set stuff, and there's. Not a lot to do on movie sets. It's a lot of dead time, so it's just me like waiting for Brandon Routh.
We didn't even talk about that tonight.
No, we can do that later.
We're gonna have to have you. We're gonna have to have you back again. Talk about some of your adventures in journalism.
Yeah.
And what's the name of the movie that you were reporting to from the set?
I was just on Jonah Hex in New Orleans with Megan Fox and Josh Brolin.
Sorry. Did I say that out loud? Did it come out?
And then
Megan Fox.
Yum. next week I'm going on Nightmare on Elm Street, and then I think that's it for a while. Then Harry Potter in March.
Wow.
So in England, simply.
You need an assistant?
Possibly.
All right.
Possibly. We'll see.
Got my email.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, guys, let's...
Chris in England would be awesome.
Oh, God. He'd be asking for biscuits. You guys got biscuits and gravy here?
Oh, come on.
Where can I watch a baseball game? Oh, my.
He's
from the colony.
It would be like watching... Bizarro Austin Powers.
That's what it would be.
The thing is, I would ask for biscuits and gravy, and they would be like, why would you put gravy on a cookie? Yeah. Because that's a biscuit.
Or why would you put tomato juice and clam juice in beer?
That's him.
Yeah, no, I listened to the last episode. Okay. I almost threw up, basically.
Endlessly.
Yeah, just constant.
You'd be like,
I'm just saying, they use it a lot.
All I want to do is watch a baseball game.
You got no baseball over here?
You got no baseball?
It's all soccer.
You got a Bud Light? Is there Bud Light here?
This ain't football. What is this?
I almost got in a fight with a British guy. Or no, actually, he was Irish. The other night he was
insulting he would be British then.
Yes, he would be British. Yeah. Insulting football. But I held my tongue.
What's the problem with it?
He just thought
it was exciting.
Well, no, he was. We were watching a hockey game, but he was wearing. But he was wearing some soccer team. I can't remember, Manchester United or something.
God.
Yeah, he's and
I'm an Irish Man U fan. That's funny.
Yeah, yeah, and
it's like someone from Southern Illinois wearing a Yankees jersey.
I will be offended and agree with you at the same time by saying that.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah, 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 yeah,
I'd be
yeah,
like, yeah, I like the Yankees.
Of course you do.
Of course you do.
And I don't know. We were talking. I was asking him about. Soccer or football, as he calls it.
Football?
As they call it, football, whatever. But I don't, he said something about how American football is just stupid or something, and I'm not going to get into it, whatever.
And then you got into a three-point stance.
No. It's just like...
When's the next World Cup so like I can see all the bicycle hipsters in Chicago pretend that they care about... Soccer yeah. once every 4 years. I once spent.
Well, no, this guy was actually. I know he's from Ireland. No, no, he was.
I know he is.
No,
he was an Irish asshole.
He's a real Irish asshole. Yeah, not a fake.
Soccer's
Irish
boring.
Asshole. Yeah, well, yeah, I agree.
Well,
yeah.
Not compared to cricket.
Well,
cricket goes on for fucking days.
Yeah,
if there was drinking involved, I think it would be a great pastime.
That's right. I think I saw Paul Cornell tweeting about. Cricket.
Yeah,
week.
No, that was in the Captain Britain annual too. There was an entire. It was like when the X-Men would play a basketball game or a baseball game on a day off. Captain Britain's team plays cricket on their day off.
Of course they do.
Yeah, of course they do.
It's like 22 pages of just explaining the rules. Is that what it is?
Something about wickets and shit.
There's no real rules. They make it up.
An amazing. I had a friend who was studying Ghana. The African country for grad school, and the only radio he could pick up was BBC World Service, and the only sports they talked about was cricket, and he couldn't figure out what was going on. Because one day he'd be like, it's terrible. The UK is down by 200 to Pakistan. Then the next day he'd be like, incredible, they just scored 300. And he's like, how does this happen? It's just the same game. It's been like, they stopped to have tea, and then they're like, well, we'll just meet up tomorrow and keep going.
That's not a sport.
It's like six days for some of these.
And he was like, I still didn't figure it out, but it was terribly exciting, according to people on the BBC World Service.
That's awesome.
Nice. All right, Mr. Elder, where can we find your works coming up? You obviously a lot of stuff coming out. Wizard, you're on the movie beat.
Yeah, yeah. Wizard, the new issue is out with a preview of the new Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at robelder.com or robertkelder.com.
Okay.
And
you come back sometime?
Yeah, anytime you guys ask.
All right. Well, I want to hear some of the movie set dirt and all that good stuff. Yeah. You actually had good stuff to say about Brandon Routh. You said the guy was just
he's a fucking machine.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this whole story again later, but I'm on the set of this movie, and they bring him chicken and ribs every three or four hours just because. Seriously. Well, just because again, you have to when you have metabolism and you're 7 foot tall man.
I don't have that problem. No metabolism.
Bring me chicken and ribs.
Polar bear.
Yeah, we still have people bring us chicken and ribs every 3 hours. Yeah.
But I thought for very different reasons.
Yes.
Brandon Routh is getting chicken and ribs every 3 hours.
Just burning off calories.
That's what Superman
there.
Eats.
I'm gonna hit Smoking Woody's on the way home. Thanks for reminding me.
There you go.
All right. Want to thank Mark at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles for hosting us as always. Tom, Sal, our special guest Robert K. Elder, Mr. Rick Remender, as always for joining us. So everyone have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back a little bit later this week talking Swamp Thing, and then next
Swamp
week
Thing.
from On the Swamp. Road.
On the road again.
You should talk about Swamp Thing with a southern drawl.
Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing. I really like Swamp Thing.
I like that Swamp Thing.
You know, Alan Moore, that's Alan Moore cat.
In the meantime.
In between time.
In between your time.
We'll be everywhere in
and around comics. I don't know. Cricket, soccer. British even think it's
soccer. I resent that I'm supposed to. Like I more resent that.
It's like worse than the
other. I don't like soccer. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2009.